Sam Gum was once just a dream. He says he loves you. He says it with meat. He comes to buy a meat wreath, and he makes a cider out of beef. He's thinking about his meat cape. He says he's waiting for that garbage ape. The meat fairy's coming along. So Heathcliff, won't you play your meat song? Whoa.
Hello, welcome to Meatcast with Nick and Kyle. My name's Nick, and with me as always is Kyle. Kyle, how's it going? How's your week been?
It's going great, Nick. My weekend was fun, full of activities.
I wrestled.
Good.
Did I tell you
that? I saw you had a match. It looked a lot of fun. Tell us about it.
I wrestled as Gallagher 3, Gallagher 2's brother. I lost a tag team match. And then I also wrestled as Drugs, one half of Your Brain on Drugs. And that one was a disqualification. So it wasn't a total loss. Check it out. Twitch, look up Fight Opera on Twitch. And if anybody out there wants to watch, and I think the archive will still be up, hopefully. Local Austin wrestling company. A lot of fun. Very fun show.
Feels like a strong overlap of Heathcliff fans and wrestling fans. I don't know what that's about.
At least on Twitter. Maybe just people that like wrestling are on Twitter or something.
I don't know. Could be.
But we should bring in and I'm sorry, didn't even ask you what you did. Kyle, I said how was your weekend and then said bragged
no,
about
No, I mean nothing as interesting as wrestling in a match, you know. Just out and about
activities.
Well, yeah, just socializing, just hanging out with friends, just had a good weekend, nothing to report.
Well, we should bring in, speaking of reporting, we should report to our listeners who our guest is, because he's a...
That's really good. That's really good.
A great guest. From the comic Swan Boy and the podcast Rude Tales of Magic is Branson Reese. Branson, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. That's what a smooth segue, too. That was really, that was nice, dude.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you how I got there because Kyle
yeah,
said
walk,
the word.
Walk us through it.
Yeah.
Well, Kyle said the word
I'm standing
report.
Here with my jaw on the floor.
The last thing Kyle said was the word report. And I said, well, how can I get from there to from A to B, B being Branson Reese, when your name starts with a B, that just a coincidence. Maybe that could have been it.
The audience too, Nick did sort of like Benedict Cumberbatch and Sherlock, and he started like waving his hands around and going into his mind palace right before.
And we
he said
saw
that.
This was I've never seen this in person. We saw like the equations like circling around his head.
Yeah, pictures of like the pyramids, and you know, it looked like a CD-ROM encyclopedia opened up in your brain. You know?
Well, I have Industrial Light and Magic working for me during these records, and they're on the clock. They're always ready with that kind of stuff. But Branson, thank you for joining us. What do you know about Heathcliff? Do you know anything at all about Heathcliff? You are also a cartoonist.
Please.
Did Heathcliff inspire you to draw your cartoons? I'm guessing no, but...
No, not at all. Yeah. No, I knew Heathcliff from the cartoon. I'm sure you get this like every time, but like I knew Heathcliff from the cartoon. No One Should Terrorize the Neighborhood. I knew that. Mm-hmm. I knew the Junkyard Cats. I didn't know he was a comic strip because Garfield had just like eaten its lunch by the time. I'm sure this is all a lie. I know I'm not the first guest on the Heathcliff podcast. I'm sure this has all been addressed.
Garfield did eat his lunch. It's unfortunate. His lunch was lasagna, and Garfield could not help himself.
He had to do it to him.
He had to do it, Kyle.
you sort of can't blame Garfield for that one. But then I think, like everyone else, like, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, however, I started to see these, like, surrealist, like, single-panel Heathcliff comics come up, and my first thought was, what happened? Like, what happened here? Like did something go wrong? And then the more I read them, I was like, nothing went wrong. I was a fool for doubting. There's a perfect internal logic to these.
I mean, there is an explanation. I don't know if you know that, but like the original Heathcliff cartoonist, his nephew took over and kind of just injected his own sense of humor in there. That's the dry reasoning behind the magic.
That's the not a joke. What happened? Yeah.
Yeah, I dig that. I think more comic strips should be handed off to a family member. I hope Swan Boy one day is handed off to a family member who reads the originals and says, not for me. gonna do my own thing here. Please.
Takes it in an even more absurd, surreal direction.
Or it takes it into a very Garfield family-friendly, marketable direction where all of a sudden Swan Boy's on lunchboxes.
It would not be the end of the world if somebody made money off that fucking comic strip.
Well, who are your comic influences? What comic strips did you grow up reading?
Oh, yeah. The whole page. Real. I mean, like, I was pretty into it. I grew up in the
Curtis,
DC area.
Curtis, you're a Curtis fan?
So, pardon?
Curtis Zitz.
Oh, Curtis. Yeah, I loved Curtis. The problem was every Sunday I'd tear my paper just like trying to get to Curtis so fast. Tearing through Far Sides. No, but I had I grew up at the Washington Post, which had like a really robust comics section that I didn't learn until I would go visit my grandparents. I was like, oh, yeah, how do you people live? Like, they were in, like, Tennessee, and it's like, hey, wait, you read this shit? Like, where's the fucking, you know, there's nothing here. So I was spoiled. I would read, like, I would read Far Side. I'd read Calvin and Hobbes, you know, the big ones. I would read, then I would read the collection. So I would read the stuff that Bill Watterson recommended. So I'd go back and read old Crazy Cats and be completely baffled by them. I thought, like, they were beautiful. I try to like find them at a used bookstore. There'd be like a collection every once in a while, and it's like, these are incredible. I have no idea what I am to make of these. You know, like, there's like, they're written in this like pidgin like Spanglish, like, and it's all, the sense of humor is like a man who hasn't met more than 100 people in 1920. It's like, it's a very different, you know, world. But they were evocative. I liked Foxtrot. I liked Boondocks. God, I liked Sherman's Lagoon.
Crazy Cat. So Crazy Cat, I'm looking it up. This was published from 1913 to 1944. Yeah, how did Bill Watterson get into this?
That's a great question. I don't think he was alive while he must have been reading collections of it or like reprints. Because he also recommended Pogo, I remember, and I looked for Pogo everywhere.
I think we got Pogo in our newspaper.
Oh, really? Right? I could never find it.
Yeah.
Anyway. What was your paper growing up?
The San Antonio Express. Actually, we had the San Antonio Express and the San Antonio Light. San Antonio was two newspaper town when I was growing up. So maybe that's why. Maybe they had to like have extra comics to fill up two different newspapers.
Man, you guys are lucky. My swamp ass was growing up with the Orange Leader. We were not getting all this cool shit in Orange, Texas. It was not making its way down there. It was a purely Dilbert strip dominated.
I loved Dilbert, you know, when I was a kid, though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I was so into it.
We all act like we never read, not you guys, of course, but everyone else acts like they never read Dilbert. I loved Dilbert.
Yeah. For a kid who had, I think I've talked about this, like, zero frame of reference for, like, I had no idea what working in an office meant. I didn't know what any of this stuff was.
But I had a disdain for engineering managers.
I knew they were bad. I also, like, was, even as a kid, I was aware. It's like, I don't think the white-collar life will be for me. I don't think I have the grades or skill set to even get there. Like, what am I doing? It almost was, like, aspirational.
Dilbert was aspirational. Well, I was wrong about Pogo. I didn't get it in 1975, so I did not see it when I was a kid. But I think maybe we had a collection or something. But all I have to say, let's get into This Week in Heathcliff.
This Week on Heathcliff.
And Branson, I've decided the goal of our podcast is to get to know our guests by discussing this week's Heathcliff comic strips. Oh, Kyle, great. You agree?
This is a recent development that we're actually going to show interest in the guests.
That's not like a day one thing.
What do you think about this? Don't tell us anything about yourself.
Was it just you showed comics to the guest, and then when they talked, you were like, quiet, you.
Shut up. We don't care. Yeah. Boring. Yeah.
I think maybe that was sort of the undercurrent of the show, but I feel like stating explicitly will bring that to the surface more for me and for the listener.
It's good to state your intentions.
Maybe Kyle was always there. But I needed it to get it out. I needed to verbalize it in order for it to make sense to me.
Well, I know, in your defense, if I'm starting a Heathcliff podcast, it's not to meet people. It's to talk about Heathcliff.
Exactly.
It's not a social club.
Yeah. I mean, we're shocked when anyone wants to come on. So, you know.
We're shocked when people agree. We assume nobody wants to come on. But when someone agrees to come on, we're shocked.
But, yeah.
And we make sure they don't come back. So we just show them Heathcliffs.
Let's talk about this Heathcliff concert from February 29th. So I'll describe it.
Did we do this one last week already? Am I crazy?
Oh, yes, we did. You're right.
I don't mean to immediately start with calling you out, but
certainly we didn't do this one.
No.
Okay, so
now this one made I saw this on Twitter. Every once in a while, when they're weird enough, I'll just see them on Twitter, and I did see this one.
They break containment, so I don't know. I don't know what shows up. That's good to hear. And Branson, this would be great if you could interject and say, "I've seen this one before." That would give us some context for the.
Get ready. I have seen this one before on.
Okay, and if you haven't seen it, just interject and say, "I have not seen this one before."
Oh, sure.
Either way,
or you know, we can assume one or the other. We'll assume if you don't say it. We'll assume that if you do say it,
I am not here to keep you guys guessing. I will let you know where I stand.
Yeah, Branson, right, yeah. Branson, either give way, it to us it. Straight, please. Stop playing coy with whether you see me.
You know, I'm shy. I'm so shy.
You're so coquettish.
Okay, so we have Grandpa Nutmeg. We have Grandpa Nutmeg arriving home at his house. He's standing in front of the driveway, in front of the walkway, and there's a sign with there's a flag with his smiling face on it in front of the house, and in the window, Grandma Nutmeg, Iggy, and Heathcliff all have big grins on their face, big toothy grins, and Grandpa's staring at them with a lunch pail in his hands, and he's saying "Payday." So I can summarize the idea. The family is very excited for Grandpa to be coming home because it's payday. They think they're going to get some money out of him.
They're all standing there, hands extended, waiting for, you know, Iggy wants a toy. Grandma, Nutmeg, who knows what. Or
something. Branson, is that how you interpret this as well?
I do. It's got the sort of nice, like, Far Side where the caption is a quote. And much like that, too, it's like, I can't totally tell who's talking. It seems to just be more like anyone really could be saying payday and it would make the same amount of sense. Like, yeah, he's holding like a 1932 like lunch pail he got back from his job of building the Empire State Building.
Yes.
This elderly man.
he was sitting in scaffolding mere hours previous.
I think it's just everyone's happy that he got paid and so they want to make him feel good so that he'll give them the money.
Now, is that the consensus in the tourist sphere? Is that what everybody was? That how everybody interpreted this on X?
It seemed to mostly be that. Okay. I think I saw somebody discussing the fact that the plant. I think it's a good detail. This is a good little like artist detail. The flag was clearly recently planted. That's not like fresh. Like they just put that up and the dirt's been disturbed.
Now, I would propose an alternate reading, perhaps, is that it's a little bit more heartwarming and sincere that Grandpa Nutmeg is coming home. He sees his loving family in the window, and he sees their homage to him in the form of this flag, and he's saying, "Payday." Like, this is my payday.
I like that.
Long, hard day at work. I come home. I see my beautiful family here. They're not asking anything of me. They don't need money from me. I got everything I need from them. You know what I'm saying?
That read is at least as funny to me as the joke that I think. It's just like, oh, we're just seeing what a beautiful moment in this old man's life.
And the flag just adds like a little twist of like, that's a little weird, but it is just a nice thing. It can just be a nice thing. Guys, are you so cynical that you can't just think it can just be a nice thing? You two money hungry fools.
Oh, you're talking to us.
Yeah, you two guys here. No, you two guys on this podcast with me. You're always thinking about money.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I'm sick of it.
I'm what they call in the business a user.
Branson, we want to get to know you. Have you ever raised the flag?
Have I ever raised the flag? Not that I know. I don't think I have.
Not that I know of.
I got to tell you the truth. I wanted to leave open the possibility that one of you could be like, we have a flag here that says otherwise that you raised it.
We have the
flag. I don't think Branson superfan doing the research and be like, this lying motherfucker.
Yeah, it's like I drove by his home right after 9/11 and his family was putting the flag up. I think probably right after that, like every family in America, you had to put the American flag up. But I don't think was the one raising it.
You don't think they walked you outside and said, Branson, this is important that you have to do this. You need to learn
actually,
how to do this.
I know because I would remember that. That would have been a bizarre move. Branson, we're under attack. It falls to the eldest child to raise the flag.
I've never raised a flag either. We had like people in elementary school and I think middle school that would be responsible for raising the flag every morning.
Yeah,
but it never fell on me. Kyle, have you ever raised a flag?
No, I was never involved in any of that sort of activity, to my recollection. But yeah, there were like kind of try-hardy kids who would like be tasked with every morning they would. And they were very, I remember they were very diligent about it. They, you know, they fold it the right way or whatever. Like it was a whole thing.
Oh, you got to fold it the right way. Yeah. It's disrespectful if you don't.
Yeah, apparently.
It's a very like hall monitor thing. Isn't that like who does it at schools?
Yeah, I think so.
I think by high school it became like the ROTC responsibility, the military people. Isn't that weird? We went to school with like paramilitary soldiers.
I mean, I didn't have that personally.
You didn't?
No.
Really?
We didn't have that. We didn't have that in Orange Shield, Texas. Surprisingly. I mean, we had a robust ag program, but we did not have any ROTC.
I had a recruiter call me when I was a senior because I guess your GPA is like public. And he saw me and he was like, this kid's got like a 1.9. I got him. And he called me and he was like, he was on the phone with me for a while being like, I really think you should be in the military. And I was like, I just don't want to do it. And I kept saying like, oh, but I do this or like, and he like was good. I was like, oh, I'm more like into music. And he knew like Henry Rollins had gone to military school stuff. Like he knew that stuff, like ready to go. He knew Gene Hackman. And I was like, well, I'm an actor. And he was like, you know, Gene Hackman got started acting in the military. And eventually I had to say, look, man. And I just hung up. I didn't. It's like, I couldn't beat him.
You gave him the look, man, first though. So he was hanging on.
It's like, I was ready to say something. It was like, look, I got nothing. I just, it's like, maybe if I hang up, he won't call back. And he didn't.
Gene Hackman got to start acting in the military.
Did you know? The thing is like, I don't know if that's true. It's probably true. But if it's not like, it's not like they have to tell kids the truth to get them to go to war.
No. In fact, they probably shouldn't. The
opposite, yeah.
I
didn't even realize that about Henry. I mean, it makes sense that Henry Rollins was in the military, but I had no idea that he was.
I actually think he said somebody else, and I know he went to military school, I just inserted a different musician quickly because I was like, oh, fuck, I forgot who he said.
Okay. All right, well, I'm back at the page. Let's move on to March. Wait, did I skip a day? No, I didn't.
No,
March 2nd. March 2nd, Saturday. Heathcliff is driving down the street wearing sunglasses in his little Heathcliff mobile. It's an orange car with little ears on the hood and a bubble top, sort of like the Homer from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And Grandpa and Grandma Nutmegger are standing in the window, and Grandma is saying, we never should have let him get a driver's license.
Pretty funny.
Pretty good.
I think
Branson,
have not seen this one, I should say.
Okay.
I have not seen this one. This is new to me. I like it. I like the message that like if you give a cat a driver's license, it'll drive a car that looks like its body, and you don't want that. It would be terrible.
Yeah, the oh no implicit in this. Like what have we done?
Yeah, why do they not want him doing this, I guess is the question.
He seems like a competent driver. He's hands at 10 and 2, you know? He is wearing his sunglasses at night, which is troubling. I mean, yes. Looks great, but you know, that can't be good for visibility. Yeah.
He does look like he's about to go like pick up somebody, you know, like,
oh yeah.
He's like driving to go get it in, and I maybe that's what they're like, we'll never see him again.
To get it in? You mean his little cat dick?
His little cat dick.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's I'm what talking about meant. His little cat
dick. Okay.
Nick asking the tough follow-up questions. what do you think Heathcliff's like cruising music is? What do you think he's playing
fever?
On that radio? You think Cat Scratch Fever?
Yeah. First guess.
The vibe getting from this is like a Bad to the Bone. Like
oh,
yeah, absolutely. The thing that popped into my head was the like riding along on my automobile.
That's funny. You guys went. I was thinking it would be more like a James Bond kind of thing, like ding ding ding
ding ding ding. Ding oh, because of the like, bubble top.
I guess that's why. Yeah,
the bubble top's making you think it looks like a spy car.
Yeah, Bond didn't you have fool. A bubble top, did he?
You fool! It, but it's just a regular car.
That's true.
It does look you know. A little like. From like the 3 years in the 60s when we thought the future would look like that, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Branson, what was your first car?
My first car? I got a used Volvo that my sister totaled.
Mm.
So you were driving a totaled car?
No, that was the end of it. Was okay. I got it, and then it went to my brother, and then it went to my sister, and she totaled it, and that was okay. The end of the...
Nick thought that she totaled it, and then said, here you go.
Well, to be fair, Branson started the story, it sounds like, he started the story, and then it jumped to, like, 10 years later. With
You're right, sentence. No, you are... My train of thought there was not elegant. it was... Yeah, so my first car was a car that now no longer exists.
did you cruise? Did you pick up chicks?
Did you cruise?
Did you get it in?
Did you hit the main drag?
No, I did not. So, unfortunately, I didn't grow up on in Times Square in the late 70s.
Where did you grow up, Branson? Branson, you didn't grow up in Branson, Missouri. You're
no, I'm Nick. I'm named after it, but I've never.
Are you really? You're named after the city?
Yeah, my parents didn't know what to name me, and then in the hospital, like as it was, I was about to be born. My dad saw an ad for this sounds made up, but he saw an ad for Branson, Missouri, like in a magazine. And was like, there we go.
Wow!
Thank God he didn't see an ad for Extends Dick Pills.
Because he had already promised. It was like the next page, I'm naming my son after that. He would have been powerless.
Oh, no. What am I going to do?
If my name was Extends Dick Pills, I think my career would be exactly the same as this now.
All right. Let's move on to March. Is this a good one or should we skip the Sunday? Let's skip the Sunday. Sundays are too long. March 4th. So this is a fun one. So Chauncey is an old Heathcliff character, a big dog, and in this comic, Chauncey is hugging Heathcliff and licking him, and there's slobber, drool everywhere. And in the background, Iggy and his friend are talking, and Iggy is saying, Chauncey cares hard, because he's giving a big old squeeze.
And it's just a sweet one. Just a sweet little comic, you know? I recently learned that Chauncey apparently... was not in hadn't appeared in this newer Gallagher run, and then there was some sort of fan campaign on Twitter to bring back Chauncey, and that's when Chauncey started appearing in the Peter comics.
Can I say he listens, right?
Yes.
Okay. I want to say to him listening right now, I really like what you have been doing with this. I am a fan of it. I think it's very cool. This one comic, this feels a little bit of malicious compliance with like, oh, you want Chauncey, huh? Well, here's what Chauncey looks like.
Perhaps a little bit of resentment of like, Chauncey's not my guy, you know?
Yeah.
Not a Chauncey
I don't
guy.
Dislike this. Yeah, I do like it, but it does feel, it's like, this is a little bit like stretching what a punchline can be.
Yeah. It lacks the bite, lacks the edge of the typical Peter comics, you know.
And again, even though it's like, I like this drawing of him, I like Heathcliff's expression is like, yeah. Like, he's, yeah. You know, he's got a sort of look on his face like, yeah, no, I'm beloved.
Well, do you think we can come up with a better caption? Maybe do a little, we have a segment for this.
Oh.
Punch it up. Kyle's Corner, punch it up.
Jesus, this is Kyle's Punch Up Corner.
That's right.
Where we basically try to come up with a better, maybe not better, a different caption for Heathcliff Comic Shop.
I do have a pitch.
Well, that's great. It's your corner.
Yeah, it's my corner. I do have a pitch. What if the caption is, it's still Iggy saying it. The image remains the same, but it says, he's killing him.
That's good.
What about that?
That's not far from what I was going to pitch, which is still the kid is what's the kid's name?
Iggy.
It's still Iggy. And he's saying, there's candy on the side of Heathcliff's skull.
Yeah, I like that. We're trying to will this to a darker place, you know.
And that might be us being, you know, the way we might be.
Yeah, could be. It's hard to say, but that could be it. Nick, do you have anything?
I mean, I keep coming back to, at least he's not fucking him in the ass.
Whoa, Nick.
I don't know. That's just
you
where
keep returning to it.
Yeah, what do you mean returning?
I keep trying to go away from that, but that's...
What the hell's wrong with you, dude?
It seems like... It feels like a Norm Macdonald kind of a joke. And Norm Macdonald's got kind of like that rakish charm. Sure. He can get away with it.
Saying something disgusting, filthy, in a deadpan, and it's shocking. Yeah.
Did you ever read... Who was the guy who used to do the... Was it like Marmaduke? The recaption Marmaduke comics. You guys know about this?
No. Oh, I don't know those.
I made the mistake of trying to do this online a few years ago, and everyone was like, a guy already did it. And and to his credit, he did a very good job there. But it's all like, like Marmaduke's owner chasing Marmaduke down the street saying, come back here, I want to suck your dick. You know, like that kind of stuff.
It sounds like, yeah, he's doing okay.
Yeah, sounds great.
It was like heartbreaking to be like, oh, this is basically what I was doing, but these are just like way better. All right, that guy wins.
Were you trying to do it with Marmaduke too?
I was doing them with Marmaduke. It was true, like parallel thought. I would not be surprised if 10 other guys also come up with that idea. To, you know, it's like, it's feels like it's sitting right there. But
yeah, yeah, man, I gotta tell you, I'm looking at a couple of these Marmadukes right now. I mean, this is good quality content.
Good stuff,
this is
right?
Very funny stuff. Yeah.
Have you thought about maybe doing Mallard Fillmore Dick instead of Marmaduke?
Oh, that's good. Just add dick at the end of it. It's
really, yeah, that's no, a joke, no, right? No,
yeah, Mallard Fillmore, comma, dick.
All right. Well, let's move on. We got to get going here. So Heathcliff is walking down. This is March 5th. Heathcliff is walking down the sidewalk with followed by five cats wearing shirts that say him. And Heathcliff looks very impressed with himself, very confident, cock of the walk. And two birds are in a tree, and one of the birds is saying, it's him. So, Branson, have you seen this one? This seems like it could have gone.
I actually have seen this one.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. This made the rounds too. And inevitably, by the way, what's the name of the artist who makes
Peter Gallagher?
Peter Gallagher. To Peter listening to this, it's always compliment. It's always people being like, can you believe this? Like it, you know, good.
Yeah.
Non-pejorative. Yeah. Can you believe this? And it was people just being like, Heathcliff, he's still at it. This is really like, you know, I say this lovingly. This is sort of like an anti-comedy, but it's just like, yeah, these cats love Heathcliff. He's like the it girl. He's the Clara Bow of the neighborhood. And these birds have taken notice.
It's him.
It is really him, though. Not much to say on this one. It's a good one. It is him. You ever make your own t-shirts, Branson? We like to get to know our guests.
I do.
Have you made your own t-shirt?
I've made a bunch of I have an active TeePublic store. I don't touch it, but you can buy shirts on it. I'd say every 6 or 7 months, I get a new email that 20th Century Fox or Disney has issued a DMCA takedown notice, and one of my shirts has been removed.
Do you wear your own t-shirts?
Never.
Okay.
Gauche.
Is that like, that's like a
class act.
Well, I was going to say, you. So there's, I feel like my generation grew up seeing commercials for that movie PCU, the Jeremy Piven, John Favreau movie PCU.
One of the defining experiences of being a millennial seeing that commercial.
They were on Comedy Central. I feel like the movie was on Comedy Central all the time. The commercials were on Comedy Central even more. And there was always there was that scene where Jeremy Piven tells whoever the lead of the movie is, don't wear the t-shirt of the band to the concert you're going to.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're going to see Black Sabbath, don't wear a Black Sabbath t-shirt. And that, I feel like that just stuck in everybody's head just because of that one scene in PCU. Why not wear?
Oh, you're taking the opposite stance.
I'm with you on that, actually. I think it's one of those things where like people learn a rule and then they get impossible. Mm-hmm. They learn, it's like, oh, that's a rule of concerts. It's like, why does your heart cry out for more rules? Do we not have enough rules? Like, what's wrong with you?
You guys are, you know, we're all comedy guys here. We've all done live performances of comedy. My big thing is people wearing like funny shirts doing like improv shows. That drives me up the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have the basic, you can even have a band shirt. That doesn't bother me or a TV. Like, but when it's a like, pointing to my left, like who farted or something, it's like, but you're already, you're fighting a battle to get me to take this seriously. You know, like.
If I'm sitting there thinking like the shirt is funnier than whatever you're doing,
dude, you got to be able to laugh at your Kohl's t-shirt.
All right. Well, let's move on to our last comic strip. Today's comic from March 6th. Heathcliff is walking out of his house with a very cold look on his face, I'd say. And his shirt says, whoa, Keanu Reeves style. And in the background, Grandma Nutmeg and her friend are talking. Grandma in the window, and Grandma is saying, "That makes me nervous."
We're doing a little bit of editorializing there, Nick. I don't know if it says "Whoa, Keanu Reeves style." I don't think we can infer that from this helmet. It could be a Joey Lawrence "Whoa."
This is I'm watching a Wikipedia editing flame war like occur in real time. It's not quite neutral language.
So yeah. It might be. Whoa. But it might also be, whoa. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Is there another whoa we're forgetting about?
Whoa.
Like an old west, like, whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, that's could be, yeah. It could be like a man riding a horse, yeah. Or a woman riding a horse. Sorry, Branson.
Thank you, Nick.
Sorry, okay. Branson.
You know me, an advocate of the cowgirl. You saw my expression darken when
he did. Yeah, that's why it came out so quick. Like, if you could have seen the look that Branson shot, dude, Nick,
you got lucky that you were that fast on your feet.
Bone.
Boy, pounding my fist, drawing a finger across my throat.
You didn't hear it, but Nick went gulp right before he did it.
I went whoa right before. Branson, who is your whoa? When you say whoa, who do you think?
Probably Keanu.
Keanu, yeah.
I think that's speaking of comedy, like that's, everyone was riffing on that. Remember when we were like 13?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone thought that, like the fact that he says whoa in more than one movie.
Yeah.
This is my favorite of the bunch so far, I gotta say. I love that this is... And not in a lazy way, but this is like, I feel like I've been given creative control over this just looking at it. It's like up to me why that makes her nervous. You know, like so much of this is just completely up to me. And like, I love where I'm going with it.
Yeah, it's like Jaws. They don't show you the shark. You got to come up with a.
Yeah. You know, it honestly reminds me a little of like the Far Side. You know, there was like the series of Far Side comics where like a few times a year he'd do a Trouble Brewing comic. You know, or it's like a parachuting school next to an alligator farm, like and say Trouble Brewing.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't know the Far Side had like recurring jokes. I read it every day, but I don't.
It had a few like motifs like that. It would do. That's the only one I remember, but I feel like there was one or two other like phrases it would sort of repeat with different art.
By the way, I was wrong. We have one more.
Oh, yes.
From Thursday, March 7th, Heathcliff is standing from the Dooley Dairy. He's opened a bottle of milk, and there's a genie coming out of the bottle of milk. Classic genie figure with a turban, arms crossed, and there are two Dooley Dairy employees in the background. They're saying, "The genie of pasteurized milk." So this is
such a great contrast, having the day before and now this one. Like, the one from the day that we just looked at, the Woe helmet, is like so stripped down. You know, very typical Heathcliff. You know, there's not, it's just him in the front yard wearing a helmet. And this has so much happening in it. There's so much to take in here.
I spoke way too soon. This is the best of the bunch. This is incredible. Even the background work, it's like he's in like industrial Pittsburgh. Like there's, like, yeah. Looks like a bear that's been colored like a cow.
Yes.
The cow looks so mad.
Yeah. I mean, Heathcliff gets three wishes, I guess. Three milk-related wishes.
Well, I don't know if the wishes have to be milk-related, but...
Branson, if you got... We got like to get to know our guests. If you had three milk-related wishes, what would they be?
I would want it to taste different. Milk is disgusting to me.
Whoa.
I would switch it out. I think a big part of this, I didn't feel this way until I started babysitting. And all it takes is babysit on a hot summer day when a kid comes back from playing outside, their hair is stuck to their head, it's so hot, and they down a big sweaty glass of milk. You'll never want to think about milk again in your life. It's disgusting.
Okay, so that's one wish.
Yeah, okay, one. I got three. No,
that's enough of a wish. We should try to... Branson, how much more time do you have?
I got some time. I do. I want to say I like that the two dairy like technicians, like the dairy engineers, they seem to be speaking with this tone of like, yeah, that's the genie of pasteurized milk. That happens from time to time.
Like, we got another one of those.
Yeah.
It is sort of a clash between science and magic here.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, they work well together. I saw Dune 2 the other day.
What'd you think?
I liked it a lot. It's fun. It's a really ambitious and well done movie, obviously, and like an accomplishment, I felt like. But I always thought Dune was like a sci-fi movie, but it's all magic, right?
It's pretty heavy fantasy stuff, I think, you know.
It's like magic and houses and the chosen one.
I might be talking out of my ass, but I do think it like mid-60s, like I don't know that we were like differentiating fantasy and sci-fi that hard at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably true.
We shouldn't have started. Yeah. It's better this way.
I'm sure if you read the book, I haven't read the books, but I'm sure there's like there's got to be like pages of explanation of like how
stuff
the thumpers
is explained
work or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some midichlorians.
But well, I don't know. Just like, you know, a lot of detail about like, here's how they're floating, you know.
Right.
Like, it doesn't help. It doesn't make it not magic. It's just like magic you know way more about, you know?
Yeah.
So if Harry Potter came out in the 60s, would that be like a sci-fi novel, you think?
I don't know. She might have tried. She might not have been like, I'm just gonna, because she's so clearly evoking like fantasy tropes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
with that one, like she might not have had that as like, because if it came
but
out
I feel
the
like
60s,
the story of Dune and the story of Harry Potter almost the same story, right? It's just this like this chosen one that like blessed with magic powers, and
Harry Potter lives in this like this like post-apocalyptic, like thousands of years in the future where like Islam has become the dominant like cultural force.
Okay, we gotta move on. Let's move on.
Yeah,
to
we gotta do our big segment. Our big segment.
Oh,
this is gonna be the rest of our month. And Kyle, do you want to tell everyone what it's called,
folks? It's March Meatness. And we are going to play the full two-minute-long. Yeah.
I figured I'd let that play while we talk.
maybe dial it down a little bit.
Oh, is it still loud?
It's coming in a little hot for me, personally.
It's more that it's inspiring. Like,
it's helping for sure. It's good that it's there.
So our friend Aaron Heathcliff plus Helms on Twitter, he suggested that we do a tournament for March where we do a tournament of all the secondary Heathcliff characters, and so that's what we're gonna do. So we will.
Good to our
ask
word.
And you will receive. We will do your bidding.
So we made a bracket here. Aaron came up with all the characters we put in here, but I seeded them. I reorganized them and I gave them seedings. And Kyle, maybe you disagree with them, but I think it's too late. I think these are the seeds.
Yeah, I don't think I have really much opportunity to state my case for some of these, but I'm seeing Jimmy at number one, and I got to tell you, that's sitting okay with me. So the rest of it, I'm sure I trust your judgment.
I got to say, I don't know the comic that well or like the ins and outs of it. This feels pretty well seeded to me that the more I recognize the name, the lower the number.
Great, yeah. Well, so let's look at this number one matchup first. And we don't really know how this tournament's going to work yet, Kyle.
Yeah, we have not decided any rules or structure or anything at all for this.
I think some of it, well, you'll be able to fill out your own bracket, challenge.com/Heathcliff. We'll put a link in the show notes and on Twitter. I think part of this is going to be the guests, Kyle and I and the guests decide some of these winners, and some of them are maybe Twitter polls. Is that what we're thinking?
Yeah, I think for this first round, we'll just pick. You know, it's
some. I feel like
doing
some
eight
of these,
separate Twitter polls would be a lot of lot to ask.
But some of these can be Twitter polls. We'll see. Okay, so the number one the first matchup is Jimmy first seed versus the Ken Bone Twins 16 seed. Are you familiar with Jimmy Branson?
Oh yeah, love Jimmy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we don't need to talk about Ginny, but
and
Ken
I can
Bone
use
twins?
Context clues to figure out who these Ken Bone twins are
before seeing them. Well, they're
there they are.
They're two boys that look like Ken Bone.
They're being assaulted by Heathcliff from the top rope.
Don't ever say "ho, doggy." One of them is saying, "Yeah." So I think it's pretty clear.
It's got to be Jimmy. It's got to be Jimmy. Yeah, I mean, Jimmy's the behemoth in this tournament. Jimmy is the Duke. Jimmy's the North Carolina. Like, it's going to be pretty tough to take down Jimmy. But I'm interested in this next one and what the winner of this next round. Maybe they can make something happen here.
See, I feel like this one maybe we could put on Twitter as a poll because this one's not so obvious.
This one's pretty. I think people are going to have some opinions on this one, but I know where my vote goes for this one.
So this is the number 8 seed versus the number 9 seed. Summer Mummy versus the Werepug. So Branson, this is the Summer Mummy. He's a mummy that surfs.
Yeah, yeah, dude.
That's really good. This comic explains everything I need to know.
Yeah,
that's the summer.
Yeah,
mummy.
It's a surfing mummy.
There
says
it is.
That's the summer mummy. There you go.
And can I? And I also, I actually do want to. I'm feeling weird that I gave a very light criticism to Peter Gallagher earlier. I want to say, what an incredible. I mean this. What a body of work that Summer Mummy is not the number one seed.
Yeah, true.
If I made Summer Mummy, that I nothing I've ever made would touch that.
Someone on Twitter sent us a picture of them going to Summer Mummy for Halloween. Like, wow. Has anybody ever dressed up like one of your characters for Halloween?
Actually, well, not for Halloween, but people have done like cosplay.
Yeah,
of characters before, and it's That's extremely awesome. Flattering.
That's great. Maybe one day someone will dress up as Nick and Kyle for Halloween.
Yeah, or just to maybe. Go to I don't know.
And then the werepug is a pug that transforms into. I guess it's a man that transforms into a werepug.
Yeah, I think that's probably more likely. Because
this is good.
Yeah, I mean, this is really, really good. Sort of more of a Quasimodo pug, but you know, but still great. I mean, I'm loving it.
That's like a good joke. Yeah, this is good. Okay, I was like, there's no way some are. I do think these two are pretty evenly matched.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going with Summer Mummy. Me, I
like
just,
Summer. I'm a summer guy too, so I feel like I gotta go Summer Mummy.
Yeah. Mm.
I'm gonna give it to Werepug. If I
wow,
to be honest,
should we put this one to a poll? Should,
I think
should
that's
this
a,
be,
I think that's a Twitter
think,
one.
I think that's a Twitter one. Let's ask the people what they think. But I'm gonna campaign hard for Summer Mummy.
So then we'll take a look at the next match. Is the number 4 seed Meat Robot versus the number 13 seed Pops Heathcliff. That's Heathcliff's father. Kyle gave me all these comics to pull up here. So this is the Meat Robot. He's a giant. Have you seen the Meat Robot?
I have seen the Meat Robot. I love the Meat Robot. And something's gone wrong with the Meat Robot. He's not supposed to be setting people on fire.
No. So true.
No, he's supposed to sell meat. Or
it's unclear what the primary directive is for Meat Robot.
I tell you, it's not that.
And that's not it. And then so Pops Heathcliff is Heathcliff's dad, and here we have Heathcliff looking up, pointing up the sky, and Iggy saying, "Your dad thinks every cloud looks like a federal subpoena." So they're cloud gazing, and you know,
Funny. Is this pre the handoff?
I don't think so.
No, the art style is different here.
It is. I think there was a period of time where he was still drawing them. They were still being drawn in the older style, maybe, but I don't know.
But this is a very modern punchline, so I do believe that. Yeah,
that was my guess. I don't know for sure though.
Is this an obvious one or no?
I don't know. I feel like I want you to say what your vote is before I even speak.
Well, I would have said Meat Robot for sure.
Mm.
I mean, I seeded them, and I seeded them.
Yeah,
four,
the seeding sort of.
Yeah, that actually does give it away. Yeah. Boy, I'm stupid. It's Meat Robot. I mean, my heart wants it to be Pops Heathcliff because it's, you know, it's like maybe a sentimental legacy, choice, but Meat Robot is the better character, I think.
Branson, do you have gotta say, I think Pops Heathcliff is way low seated here. I think Pops.
I do think it's I do agree. 13 is very low.
I don't know a lot of the other characters, so like I could be, maybe this is it. I'm going to give it to Pops Heathcliff because I don't, and this is might be a little bit like last time I was like, I just don't think Werepug should get blown out here. And then I feel the same way.
Maybe Pops Heathcliff wins this one and it's the classic underdog. I mean, that's what happens in March Madness.
You're just building a narrative, you know. Yeah, forget, do it. I dare you.
Or should we put that at the Twitter poll? We'll decide later.
We'll figure it out later.
I like doing a March Madness where you don't even vote. It's just like, oh, wouldn't it be interesting if this guy won?
Yeah. Scripted, like the real March Madness.
Okay, then the fourth matchup, we have the number 5 seed Meat Cowboy versus the number 12 seed Fire Breathing Chihuahua. I'll throw up a Meat Cowboy comic strip here real quick. So it's a big piece of steak that wears a cowboy hat and children love him. Classic.
Who could blame him?
And then the fire-breathing chihuahua is a chihuahua that breathes fire. And he has a sign that says, "Beware of fire-breathing chihuahua."
That's probably a custom-made sign.
That's a great punchline for that.
A really great joke. Yes. This also feels like maybe an imbalanced seating because fire-breathing chihuahua has had such a wide breadth. Like,
that's true.
Chihuahuas appeared in so many Heathcliffs, and Meat Cowboy's been in like 2.
Yeah, but that's true.
I gotta say, it's Meat Cowboy for me all the way. I mean, like, look at the Meat Cowboy.
It's like Minutemen, you know? It's like D. Boone didn't write many songs, but everyone he did was a hit, and that's Meat Cowboy.
Yes,
like
dude.
John Cazale. John Cazale was in like 7 movies, and like most of them won Best Picture.
Yeah.
What a run. Legendary. Yeah.
I'm giving it to Meat Cowboy. But the fire-breathing chihuahua joke I think is better, but Meat Cowboy, the man, and we're voting for the man.
We are voting for the man. And his politics. We are voting and for Meat Cowboy's values. And I bet
Meat Cowboy's got pretty good politics. That guy looks like a communist to me.
Okay, then we have the Garbage Ape versus the Fairy Godmother. You're familiar with the Garbage Ape, I'm sure.
Of course, yeah. But yeah. Fairy Godmother, who's that?
Fairy Godmother, this is a kind of a recurring character. Or is definitely a recurring character. But she just kind of is there. I don't know if I fully get the game of the Fairy Godmother.
She seems to be like muscle for in this comic, at least. The birds are on a telephone wire.
Yes, that's true.
Saying better not, that's his fairy godmother. I presumably he was about to shit on Heathcliff and it's like, no, he's got like a magic gun, essentially.
Yeah, I think look, when I pull these comics, they all were kind of like that. Like it was like, uh-oh. tough customer coming. It's the fairy godmother.
It's a good joke.
Yeah.
But it's garbage. I mean, it's garbage. It's easily
there's
garbage.
There's the reason he's the number
people's
two
hero.
Seed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, okay, the next matchup, Chauncey versus the Blob. So 7-seed Chauncey. We just saw Chauncey.
Yeah.
The Blob is fairly
yeah, I
new.
Mean, come on.
Yeah, do we even have to talk
the
anymore?
The Blob is dripping. Come on. Like, that's, what a sentence.
His eyes going all sideways. I love him. Yeah. It's the Blob.
It's the Blob.
It's the
Is
Blob.
This the Blob? The Blob wins?
The Blob wins. And I think Branson's earlier point about Chauncey, you know, it feels a little... I'm feeling Peter perhaps 1 foot out on Chauncey. You know, he's maybe not quite fully committed.
I see the Chauncey higher because he was like... somebody that the fans demanded, you know.
It's a bit of a legacy, you know. Yeah. It's like it's Dennis Hopper winning for Hoosiers and not Blue Velvet.
Yes, dude.
This isn't the one though.
Right. Yeah. It's just not Chauncey's year. You know.
No, I agree. The Blob should win. So that's another upset.
It's happening.
But yeah. I respect that you put respect on Chauncey's name, but the 7-seed, you're like, look, I'm taking the full scope of the man. You know, yes. It was once the 70s.
Yes.
You know, you remember those days.
Yes.
I know he's not that what he once was, Pogo. But man.
Oh, but it's like when you hear about Leno, you know, it's like, dude, but before he got his show, he was like the sharpest stand-up dude. Like
nobody right. worked harder. Nobody was hard at every mic.
Letterman loved him. He was on the show like
it was
every month.
Reason.
He had his what's his beef he would do.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Manny numbers the 7th matchup, number 3 seed Manning Giant versus the number 14 seed Crazy Shirley. Now, do you know about the Manning Giant, Branson?
I don't think I do.
Okay, we'll take a look at a Manning Giant here.
Kind of what it says on the tin here.
Oh boy.
So
yeah.
He's just a giant. Friendly-looking giant, everybody is scared of, and the caption is, he seems like a well-meaning man-eating giant, but he's
That's
still a man-eating giant.
That is what I'm looking at, too.
Yeah. There's a great one I didn't pull, but it's the man-eating giant in a tuxedo, and the caption is, there must be some sort of man-eating giant function. I like that a lot.
That's fucking great. Wow. Okay, wow, he's tough to beat for me right now.
Yeah.
And then Crazy Shirley is Heathcliff. It's kind of a problematic character, a boy crazy cat who is obsessed with Heathcliff.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Crazy Shirley a lot, but it is a little like, we don't really see characters like that a lot anymore, you know?
It is a little, it's like when he's in Toontown and Roger Rabbit and he's like, oh, I found Jessica Rabbit and it's the ugly woman. And he's like, a man.
Exactly. Yeah. It's
what's her name? Like Rita Hyena. Like it's like, but you know what I got to say? I think that's okay. I think we should bring, I haven't investigated this thought. Don't hold me to this, but I think we should bring that back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just do a quick scan. I don't necessarily see anything wrong with it from a values point of view. It is just one character. I don't think it's trying to say anything broadly about any one group.
Well, because see, there's a little girl there also looking on. She seems normal.
Yeah.
So we are to believe from this comic, oh, at most 50% of women are insane. That's the least charitable read possible of this comic.
And it's a great design, you know. I think you know, just get the big bug eyes, the the buck tooth.
But can't we agree?
As I'm saying it, I'm sort of yeah. like, well, maybe that's.
Can't we agree the man eating giant?
It's definitely man eating giant.
Yeah, it's man eating giant. It's definitely man eating giant.
And then the eighth and final matchup, Hype
this
Slug.
This one is interesting. This one is, I think, is interesting.
Hype Slug in the number 6 seed versus 11 seed Spike. Hype Slug, did you give me one of these, Kyle? You did.
I think so.
So this is, of course, the famous January 6th. 2021 comic strip where the Hype Slug.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, so saying, tough. Let's go, encouraging the cats. And,
I tell you, had anything else happened that day, this would have been all over the papers.
This would have been the news.
Yeah, this would have been it. The owl looking down saying, that bothers me.
That's our sign off, too. That's our. That's how we end every episode, except not anymore. Right now we say something else.
No, I think maybe it was just for that one.
Okay, that was just once. Okay. So Hype Slug versus, what did I say?
It was Spike.
Spike. Spike, another classic character.
Mm.
Another classic dog character, but this is the dog that doesn't get along with Heathcliff.
Yeah. Most of the Spike comics that I tried to pull were, you know, Cloud, Fight Cloud, Stars, right. And Heathcliff and Spike inside of it.
Seems that there's no love lost between these two men.
Certainly not. You could definitely... Yeah, I think that's definitely safe to say.
Why, I'd go so far as to call them enemies.
I wouldn't go that far.
All right.
Kind of overstep your boundaries are a little.
Unfortunately, I...
Whoa, Branson, dial it back.
I planted my flag in the ground.
Think this one's a close matchup?
I think it's Hype Slug. I don't necessarily think it's a close matchup, but
yeah.
I gotta say, I think Spike's well seated here. I like he's sort of like a Tex Avery bulldog, you know, just like a big brute kind of. I like that archetype in dogs in cartoons. But this isn't, we aren't in this version of Heathcliff, we're not trading in like well-worn comedy tropes. We're like trailblazing entirely new frontiers, and that's why Hype Slug has got to win it for me.
I agree 1,000%. Spike is a legacy character, you know, and you can kind of feel that in even the modern iterations of him.
I agree. So I think we can say then that Jimmy advances.
Jimmy for sure.
The Summer Meat Cowboy.
I was going to say Summer Mummy Werepug. We're going to have a poll.
Yes. Meat Robot Pops? Are we going to have a poll or we say Pops advances?
I think... Oh, right. Underdog. Yeah,
this Pops is where advances. We said, despite the votes not bearing out, we said that Pops advances.
Yes. So Pops goes through. Pops makes through. Okay.
Yeah.
That's like... I mean, imagine you're like watching a March Madness game and one team is just like 20 ahead of the other and the ref is just like, I'm sorry.
Or not even the
I'm
ref.
Giving it to George Mason. Like,
not even the ref, like the executive at TNT. It's just it's like, it's like, it'd be more interesting if they lost.
Duke is out in the first round.
Meat Cowboy.
Yeah.
Meat Cowboy takes the fire breathing chihuahua.
Yeah.
Garbage Ape, of course, advances.
People would riot.
Yeah, for sure.
Chauncey and the Blob. We said the Blob advances.
The Blob.
Manning Giant. Well, we don't have a lot of polls here, I guess. We kind of
we'll just do the one poll, you know. Well,
we got two, right? Is it just Summer Mummy?
We did two polls, and then we were like, we get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We get how polls work.
Are we really just going to have one poll, Kyle?
Yeah, it's our tournament. Who cares?
Okay.
I mean,
I thought we had two, though.
We could talk about it. We could figure it out. What was the other one going to be?
I don't remember. Maybe it is just that one.
I think we talked about Meat Robot and Pops Heathcliff, but we just decided Pops Heathcliff.
Well, the problem now with doing polls is we have gone through and said, this is the clear winner for a bunch of these.
Yeah. Do you, our beloved, adoring fans, agree with
us? Yeah. Maybe we'll do Chauncey and the Blob.
Maybe. We'll see.
Sure.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Branson, for sticking around for our March Meatness preview and also opening round.
I thought it was my distinct pleasure.
Thanks so much for joining us with Swan Boy and Rude Tales of Magic. Everybody should check out
Surely, yeah. Anybody listening is already a fan of that.
But. I thought you were building up to say everyone should check those out if they want, which I thought was like a really fair thing to your listeners. Look, nobody's got a gun to your head.
We're not forcing you or anything.
If it doesn't sound interesting, don't make yourself unhappy.
But yeah, thanks for joining us, and until next time, that bothers me.